Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're located, we're glad you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And hey, if you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast would be the first step to joining us in person sometime. But you can also check out our online live services every Sunday at our website, firstnaz.cc. Hey, again, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the message. Good morning and welcome to church. Time changes everything. Think of it this way. 20 years ago, it was 2001, we were told you should not get in the car with strangers. Still pretty good advice, right? Yeah. 10 years ago, 2011, the internet's booming, becoming a thing, dating pattern shift. You should not meet someone alone who you've met on the internet. Still pretty good advice. 2021 hits. Now I pull out Uber and I order a stranger from the internet to pick me up in a car where I get in with him alone, right? Time changes. Just as times changed and you've seen it change, I would say this, our perspective about life, our perspective about time changes as well. When you look at the world, do you see this place that's kind of going the wrong direction? It's a scary place. I'm not sure anyone who can save it. Or when you look at the world, do you see hope bringing forth new life, new things happening, new lives being changed? What do you naturally see? It's okay, some of us are optimistic, some of us are pessimistic, but what do you see? While we live in a time where it can be really easy to see everything is difficult, people just need to change, these people are wrong, everybody needs to wake up and realize that all my political opinions are the right way to live, in a time where it's easy to look that way, I want to say that there is new life happening in our world, but specifically here in our church. This morning in this service, we get to witness a 10-year-old who is saying, I have decided to follow Jesus in baptism at the end of the service. A family that says, I want to live out scripture to raise up a child in the way they should go so when they're older, they will not depart from it. Last week, someone came down front and prayed to accept Christ and is now walking the steps to baptism as well. In the last 3 weeks, 15 people in here, in person, and online have said, I am deciding to begin or recommit my life to Jesus. There is new life and new hope happening all around us. This is Easter coming into real life in God's church. It's amazing to see. It's a perspective that we all need to see. I would say while times change, Jesus' resurrection should give us a new perspective on the way that we live our life. It should make us a more hope-filled people. Because in the world, typically, here's how it works in the world. You see these objects up here. I'm going to call them chairs. Here's the typical experience of how someone lives life. There's three different moments, three different chairs. One moment is a rock, or I would call it rock bottom. People live life and there's something happens. Tragedy happens, something horrible happens, and they find themselves at rock bottom. Could things get any worse? How did I get here? I don't feel like there's much any hope. From here, they would turn and look and say, I just wish I could live like other people. I wish I could have some sense of normalcy, at least to just leave this spot. We all experience these rock bottom moments. The second chair, if you will, is a little bit better. It's a little bit more comfortable. There's some black, maybe 3-inch little foam here. It's a lot more comfortable than this thing. That's terrible to sit on. That's why I moved really fast. It's a little bit more comfortable. And in this chair of life, we typically look this way and say, man, I'm glad I'm not there anymore. I'm glad I'm not like those people that are there. In fact, this is pretty comfortable. I think I could sit back a little bit. Life's pretty good. Honestly, all things considered, I think I'm doing pretty well. But then typically, we turn and look this way a little bit too and say, you know, life is good, this foam cushion's nice, but man, have you seen that suede Italian leather that's hand-stitched and some people get to sit in that? Like, that's amazing. We live our life looking at others and say, if I could just have that, then I think I would be happy. The nice, comfortable chair, we begin to forget and we want something that somebody else has, because if we did, then I would feel contentment. You see, what happens in this chair is we realize we're not disappointed by rock bottom, but we live discontented. My soul is not settled. It feels like it's searching. I always need something more. Most of us live in this chair. Maybe a few of us would live in this chair. You have arrived. You have made it. You have sat down in that leather chair and you say, life is good. This chair is comfortable. I can't even begin to describe to you how much more comfortable this chair is than that. I can lean back, kick my feet up. I have arrived. A few of you that will reach this spot in life, whether it was the promotion, the power, the salary, the car, the house, whatever it was, when you reach this point, there's a moment where like, this is amazing, I have arrived, but it's only a moment. And instead of feeling discontented, instead, we feel disappointed. I have everything I ever wanted, but it's still not enough. So what do? Do we try to search for more somehow? Do we pretend that everything's okay? Or I would say this, in the midst of our discontentment and disappointment, it will drive us one of two places. It will drive us to despair. If you ever ask the question, man, is this really all life has? Isn't there something more? It'll drive us towards despairing, or it could drive us to hope. I think the very fact that we experience disappointment and feel discontentment is a sign that we were made for something more and something different. In 1659, Blaise Pascal wrote these words, and I want you to hear his description of this experience. What else does this craving, this helplessness proclaim? But there was once in man a true happiness, of which all that now remains is empty print and trace. This he tries in vain to fill with everything around him, seeking in things that are not there the help he cannot find in those that are. Though none can help, since this infinite abyss of the soul can only be filled with an infinite and immutable object, or in other words, by God himself. Or put in clearer language, the infinite whole of our heart can only be filled by God. You cannot fill the infinite soul with finite experiences or possessions. In the background notes, Pastor Bob says it this way. In our life, we live our lives trying to grasp at different things. We're trying to put good things in a place where only God should be instead of God things. When, if in fact, we reorder them in our life and put God first, then we experience all those good things that still are in life as good gifts coming from our Father from a place of fulfillment. When we experience disappointment and discontentment, does it lead you in life to despair? Why am I here? What are we doing? Is this really it? Or does it cause you to want to hope, to see things differently, to experience the world differently? This infinite soul, Paul writes at one point, and he says this, I once thought these things, life, experiences, money, whatever it is, were valuable. But now, knowing Jesus, I consider them worthless, not valuable, because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. When you got to think too, you're like, Paul, when you're writing these words, in your day, in your context, you're a Roman citizen, so you had more power and privilege than other people had. You had one of the best schools. You went to a great school. Paul, I would assume if you're writing these words, you're probably sitting in this chair, the comfortable one, the place of power. When Paul wrote these words to the Philippians, he was literally sitting on a rock. He was sitting in a Roman prison. Paul, at an ancient, old, very old, wrinkled age of 57, old man, is thinking back on his life writing. Obviously, I know that's not old. I'm sorry if I called you old. But in their lifespan, think about the average life expectancy in the first century. He's writing this at about 57. He dies about 4 years after writing this. So of everything he ever wrote, this is right down towards the end. He's sitting in prison. Is this going to be the end for me? Will I live today? Will I die today? I don't know. He's reflective, thinking back as he's writing. And as he is, he says, sitting on the rock of all places, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Can you say that today? No matter where I have, no matter what's happened to me, no matter what I have or don't have, I have learned the secret of being content. Whether I'm fed or hungry, living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. This is the famous verse you hear. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You know, Tim Tebow, I can win a national championship through Christ that gives me strength. But this is the context. No matter what's happening in life, or better translated, Bob puts this in the background notes, all things I prevail over by the one enduing me with power. Because Jesus lives in me, I can overcome and live through everything. Here's the picture. If Jesus came and lived and died and then was raised to the dead, and when we follow him, our life goes through the same process, what we'll see in baptism, where we go under the water, we're dying to our sin, dying to ourselves, but we're raised up out of the water, washed, forgiven of our sin, living in the new power of God. We are filled with the Holy Spirit to help us follow him, and it changes us from the inside out. And scripture says that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the grave is the same spirit that lives within us. That should give us a different perspective as we live life. It's a thought that no matter what happens to me, that spirit that lives within me, I can do all things, because if it can raise him from the dead, it can help me today too. I can go through anything because Christ's spirit is within me. So the Easter hope, Jesus's resurrection, provides a hope-filled perspective beyond our disappointment and discontentment. And here's how it works out for Paul. So he's, again, in prison, thinking kind of back on his life, 30 years of missionary work, 30 years of traveling, of preaching, of pastoring. And if you know anything about Paul's story, if you don't, I would encourage you to read it. If you don't know any, or if you don't know, he goes through so much in life. Again, Christ can get me through anything. And today, as I go through these scriptures, I would ask you, what are you facing? What is a difficulty in your life that you're not sure that you can overcome? What is a situation that you're not sure if God could change? I would invite you to take on this perspective of Paul. He says this in multiple places. What then shall we say in response to these things that Jesus has done for us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who then is there to condemn us? And just in case you don't know, he says, no one. Christ Jesus, who died, but more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and he is interceding for us. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Trouble? Hardship? Persecution? Famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? No. All these things, through all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced neither life nor death, angels or demons, the present or my fears of the future, no powers, no bosses, no structures, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Do you see this mindset? No matter what you do, no matter what happens to me, God loves me, period. This is the cornerstone that Paul began to put his faith on. Whatever happens, it happens. I trust in Jesus. So we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Because here's the thing, some people will come into this place today, and I've talked with them, and they're living in deep, dark moments that life, it's happened right now, and they're living in the midst of it. And if you're not one of those people, this is the kind of things we need to be talking about. So when you hit those moments, you have a firm foundation for your faith. He says we can rejoice when we face these problems and trials. Why? We know that they develop endurance within us. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope of salvation in Jesus does not lead us to disappointment. When we try to run after the things of this world, we ultimately end up in disappointment. When we run after Jesus, we find the one in whom our soul finds rest. And he does not lead to disappointment. Maybe Jesus will change things now for you, and he does that. But Jesus will eventually change all things, and he'll sit on the throne and make everything new and right every wrong. This is a hope that does not disappoint us. God is the way maker. Through our death, despair, disappointment, and discontentment, his way may lead you in the very, very shadow of death. It may lead you to the cross. But it just remember, it comes out in resurrection, new joy, new hope, and new life. Finally, what Paul says one more time. We're pressed on every side by troubles. So when you experience trouble, know that you are not crushed. We're perplexed, we're confused. If you find yourself perplexed, know that you are not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but even when others are hunting you down, know God has never abandoned you. We get knocked down. If you get knocked down, know that you are not destroyed. For it's through suffering our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus can also be seen in our bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. This is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits can be renewed day by day. For our present troubles are small. I think Paul shifted to an eternal perspective. Think of all time and eternity with God, and then think about our problems again. Our present troubles are small, and they won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them. And shifting to that eternal perspective, he says this. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Instead, rather, this is a turning, I'm going to fix my gaze on something else. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. When I read that, I'm reminded when I am facing something difficult, when I'm facing a problem at work, I'm facing a situation I'm not sure what to do, or a relationship that seems hopeless, I can choose to focus on the problem and vent to my wife and tell everybody how difficult and tell everybody how hard it is, and I still may need to do that. But at the same point, I want to fix my gaze on something else, something that's not seen. 1 Corinthians says, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. Something that can't be seen that will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. So I say, God, in the midst of this situation, in the midst of this hard time where I don't know what to do, I'm inviting you into it. And I believe because you work something out here, I believe that you can work anything for your good. And I can see your hand at work in it. So I choose to look at you. In the midst of this, simply, I would sum up all these verses in one in Hebrews 10. Friends, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Sum up all Paul's experiences, everything he said, I've been through this, it's difficult, I have this hope, and one, let us hold on unswervingly to the hope that we have. In the midst of the dark, when all feels lost, God, I hold on to you, because I know that you have been faithful, you are faithful, and you will be faithful as well. This is a different kind of perspective that can take us beyond our disappointment or our discontentment. I'd also say this, I gave you these chairs, but I wanna say something just to the Christians in the room a little bit, if you will. I describe this as the normal life experience for most people, but I wanna say, I think there's three chairs of the Christian life as well. There's one spot where it's very similar and we know it, I'm at rock bottom. I did something I shouldn't do. I've sinned before God. I've sinned before man. People found out about it. I'm sitting in my guilt and my shame. I cannot believe this. We have two choices. We can despair or we can turn to Jesus. If we turn to Jesus, the Bible says we are saved by grace through faith when we proclaim in him. Jesus forgives us of our sin. We live new life with him. And as we do that, we enter into a second chair. And as we do, we look back and we say, well, thank God I'm not there anymore. I remember how broken my life was before God, and I'm not perfect. God's Spirit is still changing me and transforming me into the person that he wants me to become, but I'm glad I'm not there. And at the same point, we look at pastors or people on TV or worship leaders or people in church that have their hands up singing, and we're like, well, that's really cool for you, but I feel like I'm not there yet. And in fact, I'm not sure I'll ever get there. Like, I know Jesus, I've accepted Jesus, I prayed the prayer, I'm doing my best to be a good person, but People seem to talk about talking to Jesus, listening to Jesus, worshiping him. God told me this, and you know what? I just haven't experienced that yet. There's a disappointment with, is this what all that I thought it would be? In the midst of this, and hear me on this, I think God lets us experience this disappointment because if we were comfortable with God, we would never move. But when we're disappointed and we're like, is there more? Is there something? Am I missing something? That should be the very thing that drives us closer to Jesus. If you have experienced disappointment with God, what I want you to do is come to God and say, God, I'm disappointed. Call it how it is. Be honest with him. He can take it. God, would you help me to know you more? God, I want to see more of your spirit. I want to live for you more. I want to experience the things I read in the Bible and the people talk about. God, I want you more. And know if you do this, if you pray this, God, I want you more. His word says that if you seek, you will find. Jesus is waiting for you to engage with him more. Finally, I think there's a stage that can happen in the Christian life where we sit down. Man, it's really comfortable. This is my church. I've been here for years. We've done this forever. It's comfortable. The danger of this chair is a spiritual pride. That really church becomes more of a Christian country club where we gather, but we don't focus on going into our world to love God and to love others and to serve the world. Instead, you know, I don't want to leave my chair because it's pretty comfortable instead. From here, I think there's two choices. One is we can simply sit and be comfortable, and I think we would grow more hard-hearted and less attuned to God's spirit. Or we can say, God, in some ways, I want to go back to a discontentment. Where I say, God, I see what you've done in the past. You've been faithful. You've been faithful to me. You've been faithful to everything, your people, your church. But God, I want more. I don't want to just be comfortable. I want to go and love and serve. I want to see you show up in my conversations. I want to see family members and coworkers be saved. I want them to know you too. It's an invitation instead of sitting back and being comfortable to say, God, I'm on the edge of my seat, expecting hope to break into my life. I want to see you do new things. If that's you, where are you at in the Christian life? If you're at the Rock, know you can turn to Jesus. If you're in the middle, bring God your disappointments and ask him to reveal himself in a new way. If you're comfortable, ask God to make your heart uncomfortable to know him more. I think sometimes we might misunderstand Jesus. Now, I'd ask us this morning, where have we misunderstood Jesus and misplaced our expectations and therefore missed out on what he wants for us? I wanted to ask this question because I realized sometimes we say, Jesus, I want you to do this in my life, and he doesn't. And with that thought, I was reading again the Easter narrative where Jesus rises from the dead and then he begins to appear to people, and I noticed a few things. The first time, this says there's two disciples that are walking on a road to Emmaus. Jesus appears next to them and starts walking with them, but they don't recognize who Jesus is. And Jesus says, oh, I hear you talking. What are you guys talking about? And they said, excuse me, sir, are you a stranger in these lands? Have you not experienced everything that's happened these last 3 days? And so Jesus asked, no, I haven't. What things? I think he would say this with a smile on his face. So they say, the things that happened to Jesus, the man of Nazareth. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles. He was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. Now catch this. They say to Jesus, we had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to restore Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. You see, when the Jewish people were waiting for a Messiah, they wanted the Messiah to come with a sword, to take out Rome, who was oppressing them, to overthrow the government so that they could be free. This is the Messiah that we had hoped for. It was the Jesus, if you will, that I had hoped that he would be. What's interesting is they continue to walk along. Jesus then begins to explain. He goes back through all the Old Testament scriptures and said, this is how it points to Jesus or the Messiah, that he must die, but then he must be raised to life. Jesus pretends to keep walking, but they say, no, come in and eat dinner with us. So they break bread together. And in that moment, they realize, wait, this is Jesus. It says Jesus disappears. Those disciples run back to the other disciples. Jesus continues to appear to people before he ascends to heaven. And in one last time at the very beginning of Acts, Jesus is with those apostles or the disciples at this point, talking with them. And we see the same thought. When the apostles were with Jesus, they kept on asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Jesus, I mean, you did the whole death to life thing. That's cool. Is it time to pull out the sword yet? Like, if you died and you're living, can we now go overthrow Rome? It's where their hope was. I feel like Jesus was like, guys, you've missed the point. And he does answer their question. The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they're not for you to know, but. So he's like, this is what you're looking, this is what you've been hoping for, but I'm going to change your perspective. I want you to see something else. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. They said, Jesus, will you pick up a sword and take out Rome? Jesus said, I think you're missing the point. Instead of asking me to take out the sword, I'm asking you to take my word and carry it to the ends of the earth. Don't you realize if you would ask a different question, God, can I have your Holy Spirit? That you would be able to do miracles and go out into the world and preach so that more and more people would be saved and more people would come to know me. That's actually far greater and far lasting than overthrowing a simple government. So today, where have we missed what God wants for us? Because we've been so focused on what we want for us. Maybe we've misunderstood Jesus like the disciples did. Instead, we put ourselves at his feet and say, God, what is it that you want for me? I want to see far more in my life. Today, I would simply say this. If you've been disappointed with God, what do you do with that? Do you just let it sit in your soul? Just let it sit there and never deal with it? I would encourage you, don't get jaded or don't give up when you get discouraged in your faith. Instead, know that God can use even your disappointment or your pain to reveal himself to you if you would seek him more. And here's my prayer for you today. I pray that you would find peace and contentment no matter what life brings you. You would know the peace and the hope of Christ. And that hope would give you Jesus' resurrection perspective. I pray that you can be content, but then I pray this, for a holy discontentment within your soul, to push you closer and closer to Jesus. I pray that you would desire more and more to know God, to know him, to experience him more, to be enthralled with his word, to go out and serve others, to raise up the poor, to take care of widows, to mentor the fatherless, to befriend the lonely, to know and experience the love of Christ, even though it's too wonderful to comprehend. So now, as you follow Jesus, as you have been raised to this new life with Christ, take your eyes and what you're seeing today in your perspective and shift it upward to the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you've died to this life and your real life is hidden with Jesus. So friends, today, let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for you. As you run, know that people will always be at different stages in life. And if you find yourself looking at others, as C.S. Lewis said, comparison is the thief of joy. God's only asking you to run your race. And as you do, run it with perseverance, knowing that Christ raised the dead, he's raised you and can bring hope into your world today. So fix your eyes on Jesus, who's the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Today, simply in closing, know this. No matter what you face, Jesus' resurrection can give you a hope-filled perspective instead of despair. Ask Jesus to enter into the situation that you have been struggling with. Don't miss out on what God wants for you by being focused on what you want for you. Say, God, do with me what you want. I want to see what you want from my world. And finally, this week, I want you to pray for a holy discontentment to know and experience God more. Would you pray with me now? Jesus, we come to you in these moments, thankful of what you have done for us, that you loved us even while we were still far from you. You sent your son to die to take away our sins, but then you raised him to new life to give us freedom from them, to give us new life and a new hope in you. If there's anybody that's here today or watching online, you're saying, honestly, spiritually, I'm at a place where I'm far from God. I'm be sitting on the rock. In these moments, you simply say, Jesus, I want to turn to you. I need new life. I need forgiveness. I want to experience this new life as I follow you and as I trust in you. For those of us that, again, are here today or watching online that find ourselves experiencing some disappointment with you, God, help us to see even that as an invitation to draw nearer and closer to you. Help us to seek you and to seek you with our whole heart. I trust that as we do, you will reveal yourself to us. God, today, help us not to sit in such comfort that we forget that we're supposed to live on mission. So God, inspire us, fill us with your love, so that as we leave this place, we are sent into the world to love you and to love our neighbors and to point people back to you. Light our hearts on fire again as we remember how you've been faithful to us, as we trust that you are faithful to us right now. Help us also to see a new future filled with hope. Jesus, speak to us and help us respond to you in whatever ways your spirit leads and guides us. We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. Hey, thanks again for joining us for the First NAS podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, I would encourage you to text the word First NAS to 474747. That's all one word, First NAS, to the number 474747. There you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. We'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast to make sure you always have the latest content, and always feel free to share this with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.